all things that Christ would do, I can do. You know? And what he's saying, I can be abased and abound. I can suffer want and be full. You know? I know how to do both. Because it's not like God is like, okay, no, I've always got to suffer need. I'm going to take a vow of poverty. But some, you know, but you also take a vow so that you can go through hard times, good times. I thank the Lord that I have gone through hard times. Not particularly hard. At least it's been a little hard. I'm thinking of all the leisure and luxury that exists in my country. And all the things people enjoy, the pleasures and so on and so forth. I'm happy that to a large extent I haven't entangled myself in those things. I'm thankful that God gave me that heart to stay out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Next time someone tells you you can't be perfect, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I can measure up to that. Well, you can't be perfect, though. Who says? The scriptures command it. You savor not the thing. Get thee hence, Satan. You savor not the things which be of God, but the things which be of men. Men don't want to be perfect. Neither can they. They don't want to be perfect because their hearts love their right, their covetous, and their sins. They love it. And they say, you can never be perfect. But just ask God for forgiveness. He'll be sure to grant it to you. Don't worry. He has to forgive you. It's like a law. He must obey. God is your prisoner. Verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Hey, thank you. You know? Well, he wants them to know he's all right in any state, but, and he wants to build up their faith, see, so that if they can help him now, but what if they're in need? What are they going to do? No one's helping us, you know? So that they know, if they've gotten a place where it's like they're forsaken by all, they know that God is still with them. But still, it was good. He was thankful that they sent along whatever they send along, be it food, money, whatever. Now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Again, you know, Paul looked for things from the churches. Mostly he wanted to hear how they were doing and stuff. You know, he wanted to hear from them. And he just wants them to know that, and you know, when he started out in this, he didn't talk to anyone about giving and receiving. Okay? He didn't, it's like that wasn't really on his mind, you know? In fact, if you look at the book of Thessalonians, which is considered to be one of the earliest writings of the New Testament, he says, hey, we all got to work with our own hands. Paul was a tent maker. He worked with his own hands. But now his hands are in chains. Things change, you know? And he realizes servant is worthy of his hire. Okay? And once you build that up, those friends and the gospel, and then you're you know, Jesus said to those who were to those on his right hand, you know, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth of my Father. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. Etc., etc. And they said, well, Lord, when did we do this? And he said, and whenever you saw the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. When people take care of the brethren of Christ, when they take care, God notices that. His brethren are his elect, those whom he calls his friends. Not that it's not good to do good to all men, but that's what he's going to be looking at, is the way that people Because you see, you know why? Because they're going to come a time when those that kill you will think they're doing God's service, see? It's one thing you just have some poor person and someone's doing wickedly against them. Obviously, that's true. But the whole point is, he's looking at people who either dealt kindly with his elect in their moment of need, and those who thought it was good to let them go naked. Those who wished them in prison and hungry, naked, cold. So Paul, he had a change. He didn't really have a change of mind, but it was a change of focus. Because at one time he absolutely had no thought of giving and receiving. And then all of a sudden he realized, what he's saying is actually you kind of put the thought in me. The only ones who ever even communicated to me as concerning giving and receiving. And this word communicated again. Remember, every chapter we've had the word koinonia. Communicated is koinonia, fellowship. The communication, the fellowship, that which we have in common as concerning giving and receiving. So we had the koinonia of the gospel, of the spirit, of the sufferings, and of the sharings. For even in Thessalonica, he sent once again in my necessity. They left and they sent after him. Well, what does Paul need? And he said, I didn't want anything, but I do desire to see that kind of spirit in people. It's good to help the work of the apostles of God. Through humility and so on and so forth, the workers of God are not beggars, But on the other hand, it must be acknowledged that those who help us do a good thing. And they do themselves good by doing it, okay? We're saying, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Their spiritual sacrifices given in faith. Whatever. Clothes, food, a little money. The Galatians, he said, you would have plucked out your own eyes for me.